You peasants just farting anywhere. Only the finer people use fart covers. Look,
right, on the second shelf of our fart cupboard, oh, God. There's a bottle labeled Sir Reginald Du Barry.
And hints of almond.
Oh, God. Oh,
a slight waft of hard cheeses and machine oil.
Oh, what are you talking about? You don't have a fart cupboard.
What sort of person are you?
You are the kind of person who should buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Whatever, I don't care.
No, you're good.
Fart cupboard.
Fart cupboard.
I'm writing it down.
Oh my God.
Fart cupboard.
It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon.
not with all this farting going on.
Oh God.
Cabinet makers are busy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Fart cupboard. I'm spelling it cupboard.
Okay. I mean, that could be. That's probably where it comes from. I don't know for sure, but yeah, I give it like a 90% chance.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's spelled cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
Cupboard. Yeah.
And then the 1%ers have a flatulence buffet.
Oh.
Oof.
Mm. Mm. Oh. The steam table is really...
Basically, dear listener, I should really apologize, because this is... We didn't even start on rails, so we couldn't go off of them.
Look. The whole day.
Really, what we're saying is we should drink something.
Yeah, we have a drink.
Oh, my God, yes,
so
please.
So I bought ciders, and I had purchased a 4-pack of milk and honey ciders, and then I got 5 feet out of the store, and I was like, Jenna can't drink that, probably.
No, I can actually... The milk and honey doesn't have milk
in it. It doesn't actually have milk.
I've had it. It's delightful.
I didn't
but
know
I appreciate
I didn't
the thought.
Yeah. So we also have a raspberry, I believe.
Ooh.
Blackberry.
Yes.
Hard cider. Yeah. And we've made... something fucking terrible with it.
and then it all went horribly awry.
Yes, and then it all went horribly... Because the bottle that I grabbed from the bar... The beautiful bar. The full bar. Full of choices. Good choices.
No, most of them are bad choices, James.
Good, better choices. Then, at first I grabbed the Sparkle Donkey, and I put that back. Okay. And then I grabbed the Ron Diaz Premium.
Extra smooth. If it's premium.
Rum. It is the finest.
It's premium. That's
Caribbean
what it was
rum.
Doing in the fart cupboard.
So that is what it was doing in the fart cupboard.
The fart cupboard.
Yes, the fart cupboard.
Is that the only booze that we keep in the fart cupboard?
It's the only one that will survive it.
Okay.
So I've made Johnny Walk the Planks or.
I think Walk the Plank is
Captain
fine.
Johnny Jump Ups or something. Anyway, it's a drink.
Oh my God, it's a Long Johnny.
Gross.
It's a Long Johnny Silver.
Long Johnny Silver Walk the Plank. Whatever. You make your own name. Really, the important thing is that it tastes good.
Oh, hey,
yeah, send
booze.
Us messages. Let us know what you think the name should be.
All right.
Ooh. Mm, tastes fine to me.
Yeah, it's all right.
Fairly except I've got. I don't know if it's because my cider is different, but
oh, there's that tang of that silver.
Yeah, there. Yeah,
yep.
That thing right there.
Oh,
and with the
no
blackberry,
wonder.
That's interesting.
No
I'm
wonder. Well, werewolves
aren't
in love with it. Oh man.
Nope, mine's better. Woo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured.
I've at least got some.
Yeah.
Fruit to cover that shit.
I've got shoe polish. Is what I've got. Mm. That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna drink it.
I'm. Might drink mine.
I'm gonna drink it.
All right.
Yep.
Yay.
All right. So.
Hey, Salsa, what you been up to?
Fest?
What?
Bull and or shit,
I know,
sir.
We
right.
should tell the people at home about Fest, because I'm absolutely
I think people
I
at home
heard.
Are sick about hearing about Fest.
They might be. Are we going to talk about it anyway?
We should talk about the fact that I still have a job.
Oh,
yay.
There is that.
And the fact that James still has a job.
Nobody cares if I still have
Nobody
a job.
Nobody cares about if Jenna has a job, but James and I work at the same company.
Oh, I was about to say, listeners, I didn't lose my job, by the way, just to make that clear. And when I said nobody cares, I mean, I'm not involved in this saga.
Whereas James and I work at the same place, and thankfully we still both work there because that happened today where some people don't.
Yeah.
A sizable chunk, as a matter of fact. Yep. I believe the term is downsizing.
An axe swung through the room.
Mm-hmm.
And hit a dozen people.
We had a mandatory meeting today in the afternoon, and we walked in, and they said, yep, some people you might notice aren't here anymore.
Yep.
So that was an interesting day. And then...
they had four slips on the board. One of them was pink, and we played, one of these things is not like the other.
God.
But yeah, the rest of the day was a little subdued. And
did that happen in the morning or afternoon?
Right away in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right about the time I was getting ready to go to lunch, actually.
Yeah.
Which I then had no appetite for.
Mm.
And then
booze.
And then booze. And then we had to go ahead and deactivate a whole bunch of people's users' accounts, and guess who got to do that?
Oh, that used to be my job when I was there. I am so sorry.
Yeah, no, that sucked.
That
was a really sucky
game.
Yeah.
They had me do that, like, right as people were going into meetings.
Oh, shit.
So I knew before they did.
So by the time they walked out, it was already done?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yep.
So, lady and gentlemen, fart cupboard.
Fart cupboard.
Fart cupboard. We're a little punchy. Yeah.
I think we've all had days.
Yeah.
I can't talk about my day, but there were things.
There were.
There were things.
Good.
Yep.
Oh, I can talk about one thing that happened today.
Do
and
so.
And I think I'm going to, because I think it's important for listeners to know. I've been going to therapy.
Yay.
Yeah. It's nice to talk to somebody and have them be like, you know, well, have you thought about it this way? Or no, that's accurate. You're not crazy about that particular thing. So yeah, but today was my final day of scheduled therapy.
Hey.
I've been working through some stuffs, and I'm to a point where, like, the past couple of sessions, actually, the therapist has been like, so it's totally up to you. Do you want to keep scheduled therapy? Do you want to, you know, whatever? And this last time she was like, so it's still up to you. I kind of started to feel like the person that was crashing on the couch an extra week too long. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, like.
Yeah, you know, if you want to kick a couple of bucks in toward rent, yeah, that'd be okay.
Right?
It's like, we wouldn't refuse it. Gerald.
Oh, God. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, I had my last scheduled therapy appointment today, and it was a good appointment. Talked about awesome things going on in my life, and then talked about like a couple of things. I was like, so I've been having a few issues with this thing, but it's all just like more like personal social navigation than anything, like,
right.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you might have some ideas on how to handle this. And she was like, well, what about this thing? I'm like, well, I thought about it. And she's like, well, okay, but did you try it? And I'm like, no, I suppose I didn't try that, did I? I just thought about it a lot. Like, you know, so, yeah.
And it's that instead of like, and then
yeah.
I came home and everything was fucked and I just started crying.
And I saw the vase on the table and it reminded me of my dead mother and... Yeah, no, yeah, no, there were no tears this session. There haven't been tears for the past couple sessions. Aww. So yeah, that's like advancement even.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Also
because your menopause has a tiny fedora.
Kind of. Actually, that is a thing that may have helped in the process.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was actually, as much as it was a joke question, it was a serious joke
question. It is actually possibly a part of it. She and I were talking about how I've gotten medications adjusted for the perimenopausal stuffs and all of that. And, like, just how much more aware and in the world I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to where I was a couple weeks ago. And we talked a little bit about how that may have been a contributing factor in some of the things I was going through.
Sure.
It's
not the only thing.
But it's not the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by far. like things I had been talking with this therapist about include like Bill's death. You know, that's not perimenopause has nothing to do with that. You know?
Right.
Or did it?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Oh, God.
I mean, it might have something to do with Kyle's death.
Oh, oh. Now, wait a minute. Okay, so if I've been in kind of like a slightly depressive funk for a while because of this perimenopausal stuff, and now I'm medicated.
Right.
Does Kyle need to, like, watch out now that I have all of this energy? And
I mean, I've assumed that he's needed to be careful this entire time.
Yeah, but now that I'm like, you know.
Now that you actually have the motivation.
Now that the cloud has been lifted.
To dig a hole.
Yeah.
6 feet deep.
Shit.
I mean.
Awkward. But no, it is very much so like the cloud's been lifted. The past few mornings I have not woken up in my own sweat, which is fantastic. I can't,
that is fantastic.
I can't begin to tell you guys how gross that is. Like it's gross.
I mean, you can try.
It's like by the time, okay, so you've sweat in the middle of the night, right? And there's this just right. like this film of damp over everything. Mm-hmm. Except that by the time you wake up, depending on how large this pool of sweat is, there are parts that might be cold. So you got to roll out of bed. And the place where you were is kind of warmish.
It's like trying to sleep on the fuck spot.
Right. Slightly less sticky. Depending. But yeah, so you got to roll out of the bed and then you hit the cold clammy part.
Wow.
It's gross. It's gross, you guys. I can't.
Ugh.
But yeah, so that hasn't happened to me for the past few mornings. So that's delightful. Ladies.
I described the weather this weekend as walking into a human mountain.
Yeah.
Which I feel is...
That's, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the result of that, sweating at night. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely have not had it to the degree that you've described, but it's so been gross. It's been so gross. And I don't want that either, so cheers.
Yay. Yeah.
Yeah, good
Also, I haven't had to take my grandma naps in the afternoon.
Yay!
That's amazing.
No grandma naps.
Like, finish work, pass out for an hour and a half. Get up, try to be productive again. Sometimes fail. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I highly recommend if things aren't seeming quite right in your life.
Yeah.
Go talk to somebody.
Yeah. Do that.
Your physical doctor, your brain doctor, your whatever.
Also, before you send that text message, take a nap. Before you make any life altering decisions, take a nap.
Yeah.
Have some food. Have a little water. Ask someone that you trust. Just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Take good care of yourself. And things seem brighter when... And it doesn't always work. Mm. Can't solve everything. But sure, it helps.
It does.
Yeah.
That is the one thing. Like, James and I were talking about this earlier today, actually, where I was like, I didn't have to take a grandma nap today. And it was just one of these have to or get to kind of things. Right. And I'm like, no, the past while I've had to take a nap.
Yeah.
Now I can choose to take a nap.
Ooh, whoa.
Which is so much better.
Like as good as a grandma nap is when you have to take it, getting to luxuriating in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Luxurious grandma nap.
I mean, it's not as luxurious as
a fart covered. Yes.
But nothing is luxurious.
That's just sheer luxury.
It really is.
Yes.
I'm going to get just like a fake gold plate that we can put on it. So it'll be a gold plated pot covered.
Can we make sure that in place of an R in fart that it's an H?
Fart
covered.
Is it a fart?
You know, we really needed to have this when Matt was around.
Oh shit, yeah. He would never have used the damn thing. Are you kidding?
Oh, I would have still been the one to use it. But I think he would have appreciated it.
Sorry you missed it, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a glorious thing.
I'm going to ask that of people now at Fest. I'm just going to wander around. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Would you know where the nearest fart cupboard is?
Yes.
Is effectively a biffy.
You mean the biffy? No, not the privy.
Nothing solid needs to come out.
No, I just need to fart.
Don't be obscene.
Release
where is
a little
your
bit
nearest
of air.
Fart cupboard?
Right.
Oh my god. You were going to fart in the privy? How gauche. No. This, I'm looking for the fart.
No, I only urinate in a privy. And then I make dropping loaf into a small paper bag, which is then carried by my manservant.
You do not have separate rooms. If you must make water, you go to the urinal. If you must make doo-doo, you go to the poo place. Then you wash it off in a separate room using the sprayer.
Right.
Yeah, make that sound fancy.
The douche thing.
The bidet, you...
The bidet. And if you need to fart, you go in the fart cupboard.
I like to call it the splishy splashy assy classy, is what I call it. Not a bidet. How
you need
vulgar.
Four separate rooms.
You know, I actually lived in a place that had a bidet. Like in the US.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a friend that had that happen before.
I have a friend who has invested in purchasing one which can be mounted.
The clippy bidet.
Yeah, I would like one of those.
No, this was a separate bidet.
The first time...
As an adult, the first time you use it, it is jarring. And then you realize just how amazing they are.
Well, and also you learn not to crank it full on immediately, which...
There are settings to a bidet.
I want one of the Japanese ones.
Awkward.
Oh, the ones that like sing to you.
It's got some of the Japanese ones. They're fully automated, and they like spray a warm water on you, and then they have blowers that blow dry your butt.
I want my butt blow dried. That's like the
Some of these ones are amazing.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah. No, it is purely amazing. I walked into...
That's a new thing on my bucket list now,
Americans are so fucking... They are such barbarians when it comes to pooing.
My favorite...
Like, seriously.
Retort to, like, oh, it's gross that you have a separate toilet for spraying a water fountain at your butt. Is like, okay... What other part of your body, where else is it acceptable to get poo on you and then wipe it with a piece of paper until it seems like there may not be poo there anymore?
Right.
And then carry on with your day. Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere. Wash your fucking hands, one. Two,
oh, my God.
But also, it's
Did you get poo on your hands? We'll just wipe it off and walk around. No, you wash your goddamn hands.
So
wash your butt.
I think my favorite sign for a unisex bathroom was, we don't care your gender or ability, just wash your hands when you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Just wash your hands. Wash your fucking...
And wash your butt.
You guys, do you know what happens if you don't wash your hands? It's disgusting.
I like to tell people, because, you know, some guys are like, oh, no, I didn't pee on my hands. I don't know, but you touched your penis.
Yeah. Do you know where that thing has been?
Yeah, I do.
That means that when you eat food after doing that, you're putting your penis into your mouth. And that sounds...
To be fair, I do that before I eat.
Man.
Usually I do that before I eat, not while I'm eating. So,
right.
To be fair.
Yeah. Also... But then wash your fucking hands.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. After I autofillate myself, I wash my hands. It's good. Just the polite thing to do.
It is.
This is really going to be one of those episodes, isn't it?
It has been.
I was thinking, maybe we'll get back on some kind. Nope.
What would you like to discuss? Because I'm up for talking.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I do have one thing that I want to mention, but we can talk about it later. But
is it fart cupboards?
Now it is.
Good.
No, what would be the ideal fart cupboard, though? Like, I mean, we have a pretty good one here. Don't get me wrong.
The ideal fart cupboard, I feel, would obviously be in the bathroom.
Sure.
And it would... Hmm. It would be very similar to a urinal.
Okay.
In that it's in the wall, and it would have to be adjustable height, I feel.
Hmm.
Either that or it would have to be low enough that, that anybody could squat onto it, but you kind of settle into it.
Okay.
You back into it, but it's got the thing
like
sticking.
A leaning bench.
It's very much so like
ooh,
that. But
yeah, nice.
It's got a has a slight protuberance at the bottom in the middle that goes between your legs.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that you kind of straddle
and nestle in.
You nestle in and kind of lean back against. And then you hit the button and it provides a very light suction.
I was going to recommend like a vacuum.
Yeah.
Very light vacuum. Yeah. And then you fart and then you get up and you walk away.
Yeah.
And it has sucked all of the smell away.
Sure.
And filtered it. And sure. Has put out a pleasant aroma.
Right. I would suggest like that there be some like, flowering plants near the output.
Mm-hmm. Can we get like a little like a vanilla scented spritzer or something?
Something like that,
I'd almost rather smell fart.
You don't like vanilla?
No. I love vanilla. I love the smell of vanilla, and I love the smell of vanilla extract. I have to say that, like, chemical vanilla, because I can taste the difference.
Right.
I
it's metallic.
I hate smells.
There are different,
and, like, I've come to
there are
accept
different
that.
Vanillas, yeah, though. I suppose, there are different vanilla scents.
As long as it's not, like, lavender or something like that.
What's wrong
Nobody
with
want,
lavender?
Lavender is way overdone.
It is now,
I fucking hate
mint.
Mint is okay. I feel like
rose.
A very subtle mint. It would have to be a very subtle mint because mint yours will be very overpowering.
For your fart cupboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't smell like
or maybe like a
solution,
no, like yes. a cedar, like a cedar or a sandalwood.
Cedar or sandal would be great.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, cedar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking something
like
woodsy.
A cedar fart cupboard would really be ideal.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that it would have, like, it would be connected to the fan, right? So it would vent up through a duct that goes through the attic and just out the roof.
Well, yeah, just
or
just,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
And that it would be made out of something pleasant like cedar. And that
I think
you
a
would
cedar
have,
frame, yeah, it would.
There would be the like the resting opportunity. Like you could lean against it, and it would have an aperture, which activates the very slight suction.
Mm-hmm.
There would have to be some kind of a grating, because accidents happen. People trust farts that they shouldn't, and then
in case you get a wet one,
you need like a pee trap or something to keep the.
Thing See, I was
from
thinking
not,
leaving your pants on. But,
right, but even
but no, you're
even
right.
So.
Sometimes they get a little wet.
Yeah, and then as you lean, it activates. But then you also have the option; you can like pull a lever. And
I was thinking a foot pedal
is a really good idea
because you just lean back and then put your foot down.
Well,
on
what I'm saying is that you would have a lever that would allow you to remove the attachment if you're a shorter person or a taller person. That you would be able to pop the little interface off of there and stick it directly against your butt, activate the foot
kind of like a shower head that
right exactly. Oh, okay. So it's got a mounted position, but then you can also like, dunk and it falls forward, and you can just pick it up, put it directly against
your
buttocks, and then let fly with the best of them,
make wind,
and then that gets ducted either through some kind of a bellows system that. Presses it past something good smelling, or vents it to the outside.
I think venting it out. I feel venting it out would be the best idea.
Or just blows it past a pilot light or something.
Well, no, I really think you want it to go outside because sometimes if you've been, especially if, depending on what you've been eating,
or
sometimes
drinking.
They just get really really rancid.
They do
chemical aromas or a lighter will not put it out. So you really, really have to make it just go outside. You can even duct it directly into the ceiling fan that you have for your shower.
Did you think about how this would affect the ozone?
No.
I mean, I assume that it would be very similar to...
We are literally talking about building a place in your house, in your bathroom,
where you can
fart.
That's the other thing is, I don't know that I would want it in the bathroom, because if people are in the bathroom, they're going to fart anyway. And and as much as it is brazen and filthy to just fart anywhere.
Well, I mean, I think, sometimes a fart comes along with your shit. Like, sometimes
I mean, that too. Right.
They're shitting and farting.
I mean, it's
at the
still
same time.
Vulgar, but you can't. It can't be helped.
Right.
So it's collateral damage.
I feel like
damage.
The restroom would still be the correct place for this. Though. Putting it anywhere,
place.
You could not put this in your kitchen.
But
you
what if
could...
you're upstairs or something?
Well, you.
It, you wouldn't want it in your kitchen. That is.
No.
That is accurate. You would not want it in your kitchen.
You wouldn't want it in your living room.
What about like your foyer where the shoes are?
I could see it in the foyer where your shoes are.
Especially if it's like, if you have it behind a tasteful painting of a cherub
I could see it
farting in the woods or something.
I want that painting now. That's the best painting ever.
Just, you know,
like, I just pictured it in my head.
Yeah, you just you press that to the side, you know, and it reveals the little...
Or a literal, just an end table or something like that.
Literally an end table.
Yeah, slide that slides. Well, I was thinking a literal fart cupboard.
Yes.
Where you could open the front doors and lean into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking you could have something in, like, a hallway next to the linen closet.
Right.
Or something like
right.
that.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got like a little slide door and then you can lean up against it.
Oh, you could, in many houses already have these, but you could put it directly where the
laundry chute
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could, or adjacent to the laundry chute, or run it through somehow. Yeah. Sure. No, I could see that working.
Yeah.
Like, the laundry chute in our house would be a great place for
and
a
And on the plus side, like,
actually.
if you have a bunch of...
I want to see you make that argument to Raiderly. I don't know.
Okay,
no.
So this is what I'm going to do, Raiderly, all right?
Oh,
I'm
going to
put a tube, and it's going to go from the laundry chute down into our basement, and I'm going to attach it to a low suction vacuum. And the button to activate it is going to be upstairs. And what's going to happen is every time I need to fart... I'm going to fart into this tube. Where are you going? Come back.
To be fair, she'd probably have an easier time with that than the sword swallowing. She'd be like, look,
this isn't
the dumbest idea
you've had.
How long
is it
going to
be before you combine these things?
These two things? Not at all.
No.
The sword swallowing and the fart cupboard?
Not at all. Not even close. Never. Oh. That is not going to happen, trust me.
I mean, I just see this becoming a stage act.
All right, well, if you can see it, then explain it to me, because I can't see it.
Well, you've got the sword in, and then you lean very slightly back.
And fart?
Into the fart cupboard.
Who says I don't fart every show already?
I'm pretty sure you do.
It's because I'm always farting.
It's sans fart cupboard.
Which is why I need a fart cupboard.
That's my secret, Cap. I'm always farting. Yeah. All right.
It.
So, yeah. Fart cupboard.
Hey, Raiderly, I've got a... Yeah.
Another stupid-ass idea. Yeah.
Very literally stupid.
And
very
ass.
Literally ass.
So getting it past Raiderly is the easy part. Getting it past my landlords is the hard part.
No. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
No, just like serve a big dinner to your landlord.
and then
just be like, pardon me for a moment. Did you know that this house has a fart cupboard?
It does now.
I don't remember that being it does now.
I actually think I could probably rig this up.
Right?
Hold on. There's a cherry on top. Hold on.
Oh.
No, I actually think I know how to make this.
God damn it.
It's a really good idea.
It's got to do it out of cedar, though. That's my only requirement.
Okay, all right.
Whatever you're doing, it must involve cedar.
All right.
Okay. Here's the other thing is... I hope I live long enough to see this fucking thing on Antiques Roadshow. That's what I really want. Is this a... Oh, yes, this is one of the original first few of the fart cupboards.
Oh, God.
It's gonna be. I noticed
this is the weirdest science fair ever.
We've gotten half an hour out of this, by the way. I just want you guys to know.
Hour, right? It's a fucking fart cupboard.
Oh,
this is genius. I'm glad we're patenting this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, this is totally copyrighted.
Yeah. TM.
Yeah.
TM, you guys.
Are in a circle.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Fart cupboard.
Fart cupboard.
you know.
Oh my God.
So
like you do.
There is something from Fest that I do want to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
The sun was motherfucking brutal this weekend.
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Fucking Christ. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, really quick.
For
let's
a second.
Talk about the weather.
Dear
fuck
listeners, for posterity, in case you don't hear this and live in Minnesota and know what the hell we're talking about, this weekend was fucking humid and fucking hot.
Yeah.
It was
low 90s both days, which doesn't sound like the worst possible thing. Like, we've hit hundreds at Fest before. Mm-hmm.
The heat index, because of the humidity, over 100.
Yeah, the heat index was over. I mean, we've hit an actual temperature of over 100 at Fest before. But I think the heat index for there was like 117 or some shit.
It's been
awful.
Really brutal, but this was
but this
still
is
brutal.
Sixth weekend.
Yeah.
So we've had time to acclimate to like
it's fucking
lower
end of
temperatures.
September.
Yeah.
We broke a record on Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, from like the 1930s.
I think it was, the 1930s. Yeah.
So it was sweaty and dusty. And hot. And it was brutal.
Yeah, it was gross.
It was. We had a lot of people going down with heat stroke or various, you know, similar things.
Yeah.
Dehydration and that sort of thing.
I felt a little ill both days.
Yeah, it was. I, because of what I do and because I don't eat during the day, I had to keep really hydrated because I didn't have the benefit of having food in my stomach to make me feel better about things. It was I had water and that was all I had to keep me going. And so I was really feeling it by the end of the day on Saturday, and then Sunday was just another fucking day. So that's setting the stage.
Yeah.
Fucking sweaty, humid, hot. Dusty.
Yeah.
Take it away, James.
So, Kyle and I invented what might be my favorite game of all time to involve patrons in.
Yeah.
We call it Sun is Lava.
Oh, my God.
So, we, number one, we're walking around and we're just like looking at people and just like nodding beneficently. Sun is Lava. Sun is Lava. Hello. Sun is Lava. Sun is Lava. As if it's some greeting in a foreign tongue. Sun is Lava. And then when we would get to the edge of any shadow on the ground, we would stop and then like look around and we would try to create a path to the nearest shade on the ground.
Nice.
Because we were not allowed, patrons were allowed to touch the sun on the ground, but we were not allowed. And somebody even asked, they were like, what happens if you touch the lava? And we're like, well, it's lava.
It's lava.
Yeah. What do you think happens? It's lava. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and we would get people. It involves no touching of a patron by us. So it's really easy to get them involved. And then, and it's usually just from one place to a place that's 10 feet away. So it's not even inconveniencing them. And people just join in.
Mm hmm.
And they'll form a bridge of their shadows between the shadow that you're standing in and the shadow that you're trying to get to.
Oh, that's delightful.
Because the sun is lava.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, like...
And you can only tread upon shadow.
There was a couple headed walking around Bad Manor, and so we were like, this might be weird, but can we follow you very closely? And they're like, what... I mean, what? And we're like, the sun is lava. Clearly. The sun is lava. Look at it. Look, the sun is lava. Yeah, so they were like, okay, all right. How far are we taking you? How far are you going? Right. They were like, well, we were headed up towards the danger show thing, danger committee. We were like, sounds great. There are trees over there. Yeah, just take us to as far as the trees.
Yep.
That's fine. Yeah. It was really good. Yeah.
It's the coolest hitchhiking story ever.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sun is Lava was super fun. And the thing is, you don't have to explain it to anyone. I mean, more than just saying, like, it's lava. Look at it, clearly. Because they get the game immediately. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
I really want to create a new character named Sergei Sun is Lava.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That would be good.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that would be tremendous. We had as many as 8 patrons at a time And when they realized that they could not comfortably get us between two shadows, they began to like caterpillar the people at the other at the end that we
had. Oh my god, met. Yes.
They went around
and
met the front end so that we could leap to their shadows and jump. And like people were watching, people who were not in the bridge, they were still like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Right.
Watching. And I've got like the parasol and everything, and I'm jumping to, you know, and it's like, whoa. All right. And they would cheer and applaud when we got, and we were like, yes, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the game now.
Oh, that is delightful.
Oh, it was fucking great.
That is absolutely delightful.
Yeah. So I love this game. I don't think we're going to get to play it a lot this coming weekend because it will actually be good.
Yeah, this coming weekend is supposed to be 60s.
Yeah, which is fine.
Which I'm so fucking happy about.
I mean, we may still play Sun is Lava, but it's not going to be the same as when it's just...
mm-hmm.
Ugh, out. Mm-hmm. When it isn't like, followed by a degree symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. That's one thing that happened
that's
to
delightful.
Me.
Delightful.
It is gross degrees outside.
What's the thing that happened to you, Salsa?
What is the thing that happened to me? I sweat my balls off and I did a lot of shows.
Good.
So no more kids then, huh?
No, God, no. I really hope not.
They wanted the two that they have, but no more.
I was having a conversation. Solved. Who was I having a conversation with? And we were talking about hot days like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, there's a couple kinds of people. There's the kinds of people that basically give everything they've got in the morning and then in the afternoon have nothing left.
Right.
And just kind of lose it. And then you've got the veterans that have been there for a long time who know how to pace themselves and dole themselves out over the course of the day and really know how to you know, make it through the day. And then there are people like me who give everything they have in the morning and then borrow from Monday enough to get through the rest of the day.
Yep.
Because I don't know how not to go at 110.
I have a similar thing. Although...
And then I pay for it on Monday.
The way my schedule's set up, I have a lot of... I have some street time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have show. And then if it's Saturday, that's it. I've just got shows the whole day through. Sure. Up until closing, because we are the final act in the Feast of Fantasy, yep. Which goes up to closing. Mm-hmm. So, or if it's Sunday, I've got show. And then like an hour and a half in the evening for street. Yep. Usually I do like closing gate. So my pacing ends up different throughout the day. I've got a different kind of pacing for street than I do for show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing that is actually kind of helpful is that due to the nature of what we do for the Feast of Fantasy, I end up with a lot of waiting time, usually.
Yeah.
Just because they never know exactly how long, how much time, at what time they're going to be putting us on. So I've got... a half an hour to 45 minutes, just, you know, I'm here at this time. I might be going on in 10 minutes. I might be going on in 40 minutes. Don't know. Right. Yep. We'll find out. So I am then forced to take breaks.
That is nice.
Which is a very nice thing. So when I say show, it's there is a lot of waiting in between some of those shows out of necessity of the type of show that I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, yeah, the street, how do you play on street slowly? I don't get that.
You don't?
I do not understand.
No, like there are activities that we have as squires and things. If I'm in the armor, we're on the move. And that's mm-hmm. just the thing. We're on the move or we're actively interacting with somebody. We're not stopped ever unless we are taking a break and then I'm back there with helmet off and things like that. But when we're squires, we have some bits that we do that are just purely like us being fully fucking lazy. Like throwing a metal fork into the middle of one of the roads and then like warning people, hey, oh, sorry, hey, oh, there's a fork in the road. Choose carefully. Which way are you going to go? Watching people.
Yeah.
Whatever they choose. Well, you know, it's
but,
still
but
like,
this can all be done while you're sitting down.
Oh, yeah.
Down.
And we were just sitting in the shade behind the arbor, just throwing a fork into the road.
Which is why I enjoy what I do in the mornings, going fishing off of the bridge.
Bits that you guys have. It's just amazing. That's like, such a nice place.
Going fishing off the bridge is I'm interacting with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm changing up the punchline to it. Every person who walks by, you know, gets one of seven different punchlines.
Right, and you're constantly coming up with new stuff.
Exactly. But otherwise, I'm just sitting there basically fishing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's really nice and relaxing, and God, do I need it, because...
You're about to go put...
Yeah, for the first
feet of steel in
your gut. Well, for the first hour of the day, that's what I do, is I sit there and I fish off that bridge.
Yeah.
And once that hour is done, I'm on go. Absolute go. I've talked about my schedule before, where it's I'm either on a stage or I'm going to a special event or I'm performing at the special event or I have in the span of 2 hours have 4 shows.
Yeah,
like it's nuts. There's one event.
As long as it works for you, though.
There's one event. I go from Ville.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done this before, where I go from Ville to the Pig and Swig, and I perform at the Pig and Swig.
Right.
And then I go do my show, my entire show in its entirety, and then I go back to the special events tent to do the wine show, and the Pig and Swig is getting done.
Yeah.
So I am literally...
You're bookending that show.
I am doing... I have completed 2 shows in the span of them doing this
of
one event.
An event.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I am on the fucking move.
Yeah.
And then
really impressed.
After the wine show.
Like Jenna's fringe schedule.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. After the wine show, that's when my feast appearance is. And much like Jenna was saying, that's kind of that hurry up and wait moment.
Yeah.
Because that's when I could go on in 5 minutes or I could wait for 20 minutes.
Right.
So that's really nice to have that kind of
breather. The forced break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then after that is the Mead Show, which is another one of those kind of, I may go on second, I may go on fourth. So so I kind of have those breaks there, but I still have to be present.
Yeah.
It's I get that kind of morning where I can sit and go fishing off the bridge and just make people laugh with what I'm saying, as opposed to...
I did.
Holy shit.
I did forget one thing that throws my pacing off just a little bit. The very first thing I do in the morning is dance for half an hour to 45 minutes because I'm stupid. But I try to pace myself even during the dancing like that. Like I'll bring some kids on stage and dance with them or change to a specific prop that forces me to slow down, things like that. But that's still like Cannon's gone and now I'm dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot. So.
Yeah.
Shaking and shimmying.
Kyle keeps me pretty active.
Yeah.
Just immediately from Cannon until Afterville, and then I'm allowed to fuck off for a small amount of time, and then we're back on until after closing.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to hear something depressing?
Like a tongue depressor? Oh, God.
Fart cabinet.
Fart cabinet.
This is something depressing. We have gone through 6 weekends.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
We are beat.
Yeah.
If we were working at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Festival, we would not even be half done.
Nerd.
Because Pennsylvania.
I really hope you can hear that one.
Oh yeah, James is farting in the fart cabinet. Because Pennsylvania.
In the fart cabinet.
Sorry.
Close the door.
We need to get
born
the suction.
In a fart
actually, yeah.
Because
kind of.
Pennsylvania goes 13
he's born in Duluth,
fucking
close enough.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania starts before ours does, and then goes an extra month after ours ends.
Because they're dumb.
Because that's fucking insane. That's not. Yeah. That's not even. That is a job now. That is no longer just a thing. That is a job. Fuck that. I'm glad I don't do that festival.
Yeah.
We bust our ass, but Jesus Christ. No, thank you. All right, we should take a break. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
Fart cabinet.
It's a break.
Bomb-ba-dum. Bomb-ba-dum.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Segment and an outro.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
Yay.
I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And here's the second part of this show.
Here's the butt end of the story.
We didn't talk about what we're doing for the second. So, man, I already feel like I've talked a lot.
I have a thing to say.
Okay. wait for it. I am so turned on right now.
Everybody that used to time Jenna's laughter needs to tell us how long that was.
I am so hot.
This house is clear.
After we get a fart cabinet, we need a belch.
I think that's just a different hose attachment.
Yeah.
I think it's the same cabinet.
No.
It is very much not.
Do you need some mouthwash or something after that, sweetie?
I'm just going
to
drink something.
After the fart cabinet, we need a belch wardrobe.
Can you hand me a Dr. Pepper, because this is not doing it for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up is the final weekend of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival 2017. It will be the last time that we hit the streets and get dusty and dirty and sweaty and gross for the amusement of great masses. Until the following year. And that's always a little bit of a bittersweet time. Because on the one hand, we are extremely happy because we have been busting our ass for 7 weeks and putting it all out there, as we just got done talking about.
Except for the farts that don't go all out there.
No, those go in the fart cabinet. Mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it, and we're all tired
into the fart
and
cupboard.
Really, really ready to call it a year, but at the same time, it is very, very bitter because for many of us, this is the only time of year we see some of these people.
Right.
This is the only time that we see people in this context.
Some people that we only see at this time of year.
Oh, definitely.
Some of them travel to various other festivals. Mm-hmm. Some of them already have moved on to Carolina, which starts this weekend as well.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to have an extra stage slot on Saturday at 3:15 on Folkestone Well, because a member of Fearless, Gregory Parks, is in Carolina as well.
Yeah.
With the Tortuga Twins doing his thing.
Yeah, good.
Some people have already moved on to other festivals. Some people do not work at other festivals, but we just don't move in the same social circles that I do. And so this is the only time of year that I ever see them. And so it is kind of sad as well.
Well, and not seeing everybody in the same place and mm-hmm. not the ritual of it.
Very much so. Yes, absolutely. And and it's almost like when for many of them, you know, they have become people that I do see all the time and I'm good friends with. But some of them, I'm very good friends with them in that context. And when I see them not outside of Fest, we don't know what to talk about except Fest.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that we are very good Fest friends.
Hmm.
It reminds me of watching Firefly.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say you watch two episodes a weekend, right? And maybe you invite some people over to watch Firefly, that kind of thing, and you watch through the 13 episodes, and then there isn't any more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can always rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go back to those same people and places and events.
And you can see Nathan Fillion in other shows, and you can see Alan Tudyk in other shows, but they're not all...
But there is only one Firefly, and there's only one season of Firefly, and it's the same thing with Fest.
So, all of that effort that we have put into it, entertaining people, and the trials and tribulations and sorrows and joys are soon to be coming to an end. And for me...
For the year.
And for me, there is one thing that I am coming to an end with forever. Not festival itself, but at the end of this season, literally the final day vilification tennis will be my final vilification tennis match. I am
be there. See it.
I am officially retiring from vilification tennis. I had a great 15-year run, and it has seriously made me a better performer being in vilification tennis. But
you will go from there and enter the halls of Valhalla.
Yeah, I indeed. Oh, Valhalla, I like that.
You haven't heard that before?
No, I have, but I was saying I like it. Yeah. Right.
Tish.
Hmm?
But I'm Tish.
Oh, I see. But yeah, it's... Most of the stagecraft that I know now and most of the philosophy of performing and a lot of that stuff came directly as a result from vilification tennis.
Sure.
in learning how to craft a joke, in learning how to perform a joke, in teaching others how to be better. I have made myself better because I have had to think about it instead of just doing it. You really have to, if you're going to teach others how to do it, you have to analyze what it is in a way that you can describe it to someone.
There's a degree of mastery in doing something, but then there's a degree of even more mastery in being someone that others may learn that thing from.
Right.
So a lot of, I seriously give vilification tennis a ton of credit for making me the performer that I am today. Not just in comedy, but even with the sword swallowing as Casimir.
I was gonna say, hopefully not comedy.
But just the stage presence and learning how to learning how to command a stage and learning how to use your physical being to accentuate what you're saying in a way that is impactful is something I very much learned through vilification tennis.
One of the things that I've noticed it's the same is you capture an audience in the round. You capture an audience on all sides of the stage on which you're performing. And that's something that you're trying to teach us and that all of the vilvets are trying to teach us on the bear stage. Is how to perform to everyone on all sides. So I absolutely see that it's benefited you.
Yeah. And looking at the people that we have in vilification tennis now, it is something that I know that I am absolutely leaving in capable hands because there are some funny motherfuckers on that cast. And James, too.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I have left on a high note and
the highest note that he's gonna get.
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So like a high C.
Very much.
It's like a middle C, let's be honest.
Yeah. Depends on how tight my pants are. But partnering with Lori this year has been an absolute privilege. And
your team name and your dynamic is just amazing.
We've had a lot of fun and I couldn't have asked for a better partner to go out on. And so come to the Renaissance Festival on Sunday.
I usually do.
I thought you were going to just and stop after. Come. Anyway,
yeah. I mean, there may have just been come. A little bit of purposeful pauses. I am a huge
pregnant?
I am a very big pauses. Fan of... One of the things that I spent a lot of time thinking about was the best use of the pregnant pause. And you may have heard my lecture on it if you ever tried out for vilification tennis. You may have heard my lecture
which
on pregnant
pauses. We
wholly
recommend, by the way.
But, except I won't be teaching him anymore, so it doesn't matter. There are a lot of funny people, and I feel like I gave it my all. And
there are a lot of funny people. Some of them are in Ville.
Yeah. And this so come out on Sunday. To the Minnesota Renaissance Festival at 12:30 at the Bear Stage and see my final performance. because I'm not going to say I'm going to cry, but I'm not going to say I'm not.
We'll definitely make you cry.
We'll see what we can do about that.
Nothing else will punch in the knots and you'll cry.
I'd rather not cry, if that's what it comes down to.
Yeah?
I mean...
Strong men also cry, Mr. Lebowski.
Indeed, but if it...
Strong men...
But if it involves nut punching, cry. I'd rather forgo it, is what I'm saying.
Ah. We'll see what we can figure out.
But in all seriousness, to the people that are doing vilification tennis now, I could not ask for a better crew to leave it to. Both James and Jenna are still included in that.
You're still suckers,
and mm-hmm. and as much as I would like to make fun of you to your face, you guys are very funny, and you are going to continue on making Ville even bigger and better than it has been than when I started. That's for damn sure. So there's that.
Yay.
What else we got to talk about?
We had Ville Feast this past weekend.
Yes, we did.
Speaking of Ville.
I did the first round and I fucking nailed that shit, yo.
Yes, you did.
This was another Jenna Feast, by the way. The Ville Feasts are the Jenna Feasts because mm-hmm. I get to do all of the Ville stuff plus the Sigony.
Yep.
So it's just my feast. I own it. Mm. I licked it.
I ended up drumming for one of those, didn't I?
I don't think you drummed for
not the Ville one. Not yeah, the Ville one. No. But was it Saturday or Sunday that I ended
it was
up?
It was a Saturday, I think.
Yeah, it was Saturday first. I ended yep. up. See, this is the thing. You say, you know, you offer to volunteer for something for Sigony one time, and next thing you know...
Next thing you know, you're surrounded by attractive belly dancers that want you to hang out with
well
them
done.
More.
Well done, sir.
I know, it's just awful.
Your life is hard.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Ville Feast. James, you were in that Ville Feast.
My motherfucking was.
Yeah.
Which round were you?
Second.
He may have owned that round.
Oh, very nice.
He was...
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. By the time...
Who were you against again?
Oh. So, I was against Fromage, Nate, and... Bella, your daughter.
Yes.
And who is your partner?
Some guy.
Some
Twitter.
Some jerk.
Salsa. Salsa. And the thing is, yeah, the thing was that I had specifically said, you know, I've got some salsa jokes. So if you want to pit me against him, that'll give me a little extra ammo. And Tim was like, why? I mean, do you have other jokes? And I was like, yeah, but you've heard them. And he's like, ugh. yeah, so they put us on the team together. And I have to say, our side of the room, holy
shit. Oh, my gosh.
We were hitting it. James and I were on a rhythm. And,
yeah.
And we were...
I was taking victory laps after every joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were crushing. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They
tipped me the loud corner.
Oh my god! The guys in the taverns.
Yeah, they were like, oh man, here, this is what we've got. Like here, and they, you know, they tipped me, and they and I had one of my Ville cards left over, and so I very calmly like slipped it to the guy, and the other guys were like, holy shit, you got his rookie card? Oh my god!
Yes! That's fantastic.
Very sweet. Yeah, that corner was happy. Unfortunately, they got a little bit too rambunctious in the third round.
Fault because I was also on that side and I rather encouraged well, because the first round, the audience is just like...
Yeah, they're cold. They're dead fish.
And
yeah.
We encouraged it as well. I think, unfortunately, they didn't plateau.
I did it one time yell at the guys. I was like, hey, it's my turn.
Well, and the other thing, I like very calmly, what I noticed worked for me was when you were telling a joke, I would just like look over and point at you. Mm. And they'd be like, someone else is talking right now. Okay.
Yep.
Ville Feast is fun.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I love Ville Feast. I
love that.
Oh, that cake.
It's such an interesting venue to play Ville in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really, like, having the two sides against each other, you really got to work that audience. And you can kind of tell, like, one side of the audience will get more into it than the other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's...
I wonder why we've never done Joust in there.
Vil Joust?
Yeah. Holy shit, that would be the perfect arena for it.
Write up a proposal. Talk to Tim.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to say I feel like Vilfeast is fun. Don't get me wrong. It is a great time. But I think my favorite moment was during the third round. It was Nick and Kirsten against Molly and
Eric.
Eric,
I believe.
And of course this is Vil Feast, and so we're in an enclosed area, and everybody is over the age of 21, and we tell everybody that we're going a little overboard, and so the level of jokes that we are telling is above and beyond what we usually say. and people are going with us, but we are getting pretty blue. And I was standing by the open doorway.
Yeah.
Right where people, you know, enter and exit. There was just a rope hanging out because it was, again, balls hot. So instead of having the doors closed, there was just a rope hanging over the doorway. And I was leaning against the door frame. And we were reaching getting right near the end. We were reaching our crescendo when things were really pushing those boundaries. And I heard a noise behind me, and I turn around, and there is the artistic director for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, who was walking by with his drum strapped to his chest on his way to drum jam, and just happened to walk by Bad Manor and decide to stick his head in and see what all the noise was, and I turn around just as Kirsten was finishing up a particularly fun joke, and just saw him go have that moment of what's going on. Oh god,
it's
and I people. Just go, hey Carr, how's it going? And he does that thing where he just flicks his eyes at you like he's acknowledging you're there, but oh god, not my monkeys. And then he walks on.
Nice.
Just that side glance like, nope, I'm not even going to.
We are the show that the Renaissance Festival wants nothing to do with us except for having our audience.
Yeah. But it was that sidelong glance that went, should I? Nope, not going to engage.
Nope.
And he just left. And it was like, okay.
Maybe he had a fart cupboard somewhere he needed to get to. I don't know.
Good times.
Mm. Yeah. I did a fun bit.
Yeah?
You saw it. end of the day, Sunday. We're at closing gate. I actually had several fun bits during that time, but I think my favorite was I was doing my parasol balancing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And first of all, the top of the gate started shouting at me to do different things to try to make my umbrella fall off.
Yeah.
That was just fun. You know, like jump and other things.
But
towards the end of it, like right before we got, did we actually get rain? Or was I? Yeah, we got a smattering.
Yeah. Just a spitting.
Yeah. The wind picked up really super hard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. So I opened up my parasol and tried to fly.
Nice.
Like I kept jumping in the air, trying to get up. And somebody looks at me and I'm like, I'm trying to fly. They're like, yeah, no, I get that.
Trying to Mary Poppins
it. Do you think it's going to work? And I'm like, well, I mean.
I wouldn't be trying if I didn't.
Right? What's the point of trying if I can't? And they're just like, all right, carry on. And just kind of walked away from me. And I like, there's something to be said, and this is a thing that I did want to talk about briefly. There's something to be said for the interactions that are just, yes, that's a weird, surreal thing that happened at my day at the Renaissance Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because there's interactions where you make people laugh. There's interactions where you make babies stop crying. There's
Are great.
I know, I love those so much. But then there's just the, like, almost the absurdist art of patron interaction where it's just, yep, that's weird.
Yep.
All right. And then move on.
You're Jenna Dolly.
Look, just because I'm a chick doesn't mean I have a dolly.
I have a dolly.
No, I have like hand truck dolly.
Okay, Salvador.
Yeah, no, I got it. I understand.
I'm sure you do, Trebek. You had a date like that once?
Well, she had a mystery date like
that
once.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
How I got that date was a mystery. All right, so...
there was an aardvark.
But yeah, there's something to be said for the interaction that is just simply, yes, I am in fact doing a very strange thing. What?
Mm-hmm.
Accept my reality.
Yeah. Salvador Dali, a famous picture of Salvador Dali is him walking an anteater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Good. All right.
Yeah, no, you're good.
All right. Oh, all right. That's just one of those things. All right.
Okay. So, yeah.
That is a very good way to describe Fest, though. It is a very absurdist viewpoint of... Well, not every Renaissance Festival, obviously, but our Renaissance Festival, because ours is more of a fantasy
fair. Fucking bizarre.
But ours is a very absurdist view of the Renaissance.
Hmm.
A lot.
Fitz was just pissed at Kyle.
Okay.
About the fork in the road thing. Because he sat down and he watched us do this thing, and he was watching people like walk by and laugh, and then he watched somebody put money in the hat, and he came over and he was like, "You motherfuckers."
Kyle, tell him about making money on the joke?
Right. No.
Wasting their time.
No, but he was just like, "This is such an easy, dumb thing.
Work smarter, not harder."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, absurdist bits.
Yeah.
I do love
it. Make somebody's day a little weirder.
I used to do on the street when I had a little more time. This was when Fondazzi was still in its fledgling, and so we weren't doing fucking six shows a day.
Yeah.
But I would go out on the street, and I would do what I called guerrilla comedy. Gorilla, G-U-E, not G-O-R.
I was about to ask if there was great a monkey suit involved.
No, it was the G-U-E-R-R. Where it was those bits where you hit fast, and then you fade away before they even know what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
You know, where you just blindside them with absurd, surreal nonsense.
Yep.
And by the time they even figure out what the fuck is happening, you're already gone.
Yeah, Kyle calls it drive-by squiring.
Like, I love that sort of thing. I absolutely love that sort of thing because you can do it a billion times a day. And it takes no effort whatsoever. You just have to catch them by surprise and move on. And I guarantee you those people are still talking about the nonsense
that happened because
it's not that they went home and told their family what happened to them. It's they went home and said, "Can you make any sense of this?"
Right.
Because I'm still scratching my head.
Like one of my favorite things is the signs that Kyle made for us, because that alone, we will just walk past people and I will watch their mouths piece together what we have written on our signs, and then they'll like nudge someone and we'll be like, "What the?" And then they'll smile and laugh because it's nonsense.
Share to the
Because Kyle has his sign that just says "Squire" in big bold letters, and then mine says "Squire" in slightly smaller letters. And is accompanied by the tiny word "also" before. So very few people out there actually know my character names and things like that, which I'm fucking fine with. Because they just call us Squire and also Squire. So I helped change somebody's tire, right? somebody was in a bind, and I stopped and turned around and came yeah. back and helped them change their tire and that kind of stuff. And they were like, oh, well, what do you do out here? And I was like, oh, you know, I do this thing. And then I'm one of two squires and that kind of thing. And they were like, are you also squire? And I was like, yes, I'm also squire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
So, like, that's how people know me, and that's mm-hmm. great. But that's like beautiful. watching people get a laugh out of something that I just have with right. me is great. And then, like, that is a perfect opportunity if I choose to engage them in some random act of squirey to, like, walk up and start. Because they've engaged.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're already laughing, and then we can make them regret it. That's...
Yes.
Ideally, we can make them regret. That's the goal of patron interactions, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, one of my proudest moments of the season so far is that Johnny the King had said that it was... that Kyle and I gave him, by far, one of the weirdest and most obscene interactions he's had.
Excellent.
Ever.
Obscene interactions are good.
Yeah. 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 I think I may have talked about it. It was the discussion of the family tree thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And if I didn't, feel free to ask me for the story, because I sure as fuck love to tell it.
So, the Throne of Swords.
Yes.
Right. The Sword of Thrones.
Whatever it is.
It's the Throne of Swords, but they accidentally printed a bunch of signs that said...
The Sword of Thrones?
Sword of Thrones.
Did they really?
Yes, awesome. They did.
So, they have a crew working, uh-huh. and they have some rookies and some experienced people
great.
There.
Great.
Yeah.
And they are absolutely phenomenal. And one of them, a certain young Festy the Fool,
yes.
who is a rookie this year... I was leaving my front gate, you know, going fishing with a boot bit, and walking over to Levine's to go get my stuff to get ready for my first show of the day. So this is a roughly 10 o'clock in the morning. And I walk by the Throne of Swords,
mm-hmm.
and there is a fucking crowd standing outside. Like, nowhere else in the near... Like, every single person within a 50-yard vicinity was standing in this semicircle.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's like a planet. It had cleared its area of every foreign body, and everybody nice. In that ring, if you were within that pole, you were standing in that semicircle watching what was going on. And what was going on is Festy the Fool was telling the interrupting sloth joke.
No.
And I am not joking. There is no hyperbole when I say she and Mike Heck,
yeah.
Charles Sutter,
yeah.
Were exchanging knock-knock jokes, and he was sitting on the edge of the bear stage, and she was standing at about the middle of the lane when she told the interrupting sloth joke. And it took somewhere between 7 and 8 minutes.
Damn it.
Yes.
Somewhere between 7 and 8 minutes for her to sloth her way over to where he was.
Oh. Yes.
And by the time this was done, like, other things are happening around them at this point. Like, near the end, like, Mike Heck was slathering sunscreen on her face because she was out there in the sun.
Right.
And even though he's putting sunscreen on her face and putting a hat on her head and making sure she's not going to burn herself while she's doing this, she never... Going. Broke once.
Yeah, no.
And it was 7 to 8 minutes before she finally made her way over there.
Also, that character's love affair with Cabbage, like, their sincere and earnest romance.
And oh, so yeah. when she finally reached him, and she finally put her finger on his lips and said, shh, there was a crowd of must have been 30 to 40 people who all cheered.
Oh, my God.
There was this great huzzah.
Oh.
And it was... We have talked about commitment on this show before.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is commitment.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that 100%. That is... I didn't know her very well. I think I've interacted with her like once or twice total.
I've interacted with...
the entire run.
Well, because her character's a dude, but KT is...
Yeah, because of my schedule and things like that, I've only talked to her a couple times.
Sure.
Right.
But after seeing that, I was just like, that is a fucking performer.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That is somebody who... I am proud, absolutely proud to call a fellow castmate.
100%.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... KT is up for possibly a...
Best rookie,
an award. And I earnestly hope... there are... Of the people who are nominated, there are a bunch of people who are not me that I'm hoping...
There are a number
of people. Do you know, I'm hearing that from every single person nominated this year. Like, everyone that I've talked to is like, yeah, I really hope this other person gets it.
Yeah.
And, like, for each of you, it's a different person. So, fucking, I don't know who to vote for. And well,
all of the other people nominated, really, honestly, have done at least one amazing thing.
We have a really good crop
that I'm aware of. And that means that they've done fucking 1,000 amazing things. Because I see them for a fraction of their day. And if they're going like this, like I am, they're doing amazing things constantly. And I have backup. And like Cabbage, she's by herself. And that's like one of, like, again, her interplay with Festy.
Yep.
Is just... It is ridiculous, 100% hilarious and ridiculous, but it's also charming watching the two of them, and like it's perfect. It's just.
Do you have an example? Because our listeners don't.
Sure. So Cabbage is like a sweet peasant girl who's wandering around. She's got a leaf of cabbage over her head and a basket full of vegetables. So she'll like bring small tokens of affection over to Festy.
Aww.
And be like, I brought this for you because you are, you know, this thing. Or I heard that you were out in the sun today, so I've brought you something cool to drink. And then she'll scamper off. Like, after watching Festy enjoy it, he'll drink the drink or, you know, whatever. And then... She, satisfied that her gift has made Festy happy, will scamper off, and then he'll just sort of, like, reach longingly out toward her. Goodbye, my love. Just, aww. Like, the two of them, and it's just, like...
It's adorable.
Right.
It's freaking adorable.
It's getting me every time, too. So, the two of them are hilarious and amazing. Also, one of the things that I have valued about all of the other rookie performers is that they have reached out to do... bits, and I try to incorporate them and try to go see them and do these things.
Yeah.
But like they are all amazing and inclusive performers.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm super happy with the rookies.
It's a good crop.
Hopefully,
that must have been that change in Miracle-Gro we added.
Yeah. Hopefully, they stick around. Right.
Right.
All right,
James. Right.
I mean, yeah. Let's all be rookies again next year.
What do you say we take a break?
Cool.
All right.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And hey, ladies and gentlemen, it is, it has been a long run.
It
has been a lot of weekends, and it has been very long hours. Did you know that our Renaissance Festival, of all of the Renaissance Festivals in the entire United States, has the second longest days of any Renaissance Festival?
Is that because of how close we are to the equator?
No. It's just the fact that most Renaissance festivals do 7 or 8 days hours a day, and we do fucking 10 hours a day. There's only one Renaissance festival that has longer days than we do.
I mean, how else am I going to make my rent other than 10 fucking hours?
I know, right? But what I'm saying is our festival, those are 10-hour days that we're... And it starts before the canon and it ends after the canon. So it's more than 10 hours a day.
We get more nothing done before 10 a.m. than most people do all week.
And that is exhausting. Yes. So how do we keep ourselves going? With True Stone Coffee.
Correct. Oh my
that
God,
is
yes.
absolutely right. True Stone Coffee is how we fuel ourselves to continue bringing Indeed. You that quality entertainment that you love and enjoy so much when you are out on a hot, sticky, and dusty day.
If you ever see one of us and we look just half dead, what that means is that we've wandered too far away from our True Stone and need to be turned around and sent back. True.
So, if something like that is afflicting you, and by that I mean feelings Life. Of exhaustion or feelings of zombieism.
Work.
If you have been affected by a voodoo curse and feel like a zombie, what you need kids. Is coffee. and so in order to give yourself that little bit of pep that you need to get through your day, I recommend going to truestonecoffee.com and perusing their huge array of different coffees that you can purchase, whether you like a dark roast or a light roast or various parts of the country or the world.
Try one of their sample packs, because honestly, their dark roast, their light roast, their medium roast, they hand pick every single flavor's roast level to perfection.
They don't just pick a bean and say, this one's going to be dark. They roast it to whatever is going to best bring out the flavors of that coffee.
It is a painstaking effort.
So try something out and then get some merchandise too while you're at it.
Yeah, because their t-shirts are extremely because comfortable.
Oh my God,
if there is a more classy way to cover your torso, it would be through Casimir merchandise. But we're not talking about Casimir merchandise right now, which, by the way, is still on sale until the end of the Renaissance Festival.
You know what I like to wear with my Casimir merchandise? A True Stone shirt.
A True Stone shirt I like under your Casimir sweater?
I do.
That's
I have
brilliant.
My Casimir zippy with my True Stone shirt.
So you should go buy some coffee and a t-shirt and a tulip glass and all sorts of... Seriously, there's a lot of really great stuff on True Stone's website. And
you're
then
getting it from great people.
Yep. And then use the promo code
Apropos.
It's spelled apropos.
Which is exactly correct. And you get 10% off of your order, which, if is exactly $100, will be $10. So either way I say it will work. So
the math class.
So you should definitely do that. Get yourself some coffee. Get yourself some sweet merchandise. And hey, that 10% that you have saved... on that coffee, you can head over to the Casimir the Hungry merchandise page and buy something.
Yeah. Ooh, or join us in buckling up for the sex.
At the Apropos of Nothing merchandise page. This all works out. It's
oh my
so
God.
Crazy.
We have
That's
so
right,
many
ladies and gentlemen.
For you.
You can go to society6.com/AON podcast, I believe is the correct URL.
Oh my God.
And,
didn't you build that one?
Yes, I did, but that doesn't mean
I
remember.
That's what I've got on the Nike.
Okay,
spoonie.
Cool. And you can get Apropos of Nothing merchandise. We have apparel that fits your torso, but all sorts of throw rugs and
like apparel for your pillows torso,
coffee mugs, and you can get a coffee mug, an AON coffee mug, and then put True Stone in it.
That's true.
It's perfect. That's fucking great.
It's got layers.
And then you can swallow it like Casimir.
So much layers. All right. We recommend you do all of this and spend all of your money in all of these various places. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Yay. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud Stuffin.
The infamous Mud Stuffin.
He was
rapidly pulling into the lead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Somebody else really needs to put in a whole bunch of Fast Fives because Mud is
by far
winning.
Question
number one. For those of you who are not familiar with the Fast Five, what this is we receive two emails from you, the listener. The first email has the answers to the questions in the second email, and we do not know what those questions are.
Coke or Pepsi.
All we have are the two choices that we have to decide which one we like better and guess what the context is. Only after we have gone through five of these do we open the second email to discover what the question actually was.
And
if we like our answer and if we're not going to do that. Okay.
Who is dead.
And question number one is fencing booth.
Or
King of the Log.
Fencing booth.
Yeah. Better tournament. The drinks alone.
Right.
Yeah. I did the halftime show for King of the Log for a really long time, but honestly,
they're great.
I had such a great time bringing my drum out and drumming for the fencing booth.
I had such a great time at the tourney this year, and I've been hanging out with the boothies a lot more, and they're great people.
I'm sure that the King of the Log people are super nice, but they are 100% booth.
Yeah.
I may work entertainment, but I'm all booth.
Yeah, you are, you're have that
built
in your
like
blood.
A fencing booth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mostly hay bales.
Right. Question number two.
Stuffing.
Campgrounds or the Blit?
Campgrounds.
Where do I hang out after hours? Campground.
Oh, neither.
I know. I spend some time in the campground, though.
I do not spend time in the Blit.
My early 20s, it was all the Blit, and then I went, no, the campground is better.
Blit hasn't been the same since it isn't a building anymore. It didn't burn down.
I should have.
It fell over. It fucking fell over.
You're giving me that look. I'm joking.
Yeah. No, my father-in-law used to run the Blit.
No,
still a structure.
I am kidding. I thought it had burned down.
Yeah.
You hurt him.
I'm sorry.
Deeply.
So,
deeply.
Deep hurting. All right. So,
For those of you that do not know, by the way, the Blit is actually the BLT. It used to be years and years ago, the Blue Lion Tavern. And then the building itself fell over
and sank into the swamp.
They put up one of these big white canvas wedding tents there, and it remains the BLT because then it was the big large tent.
We call it the butt
sometimes the big ugly tent. It was the butt, but
do you know
still
what
the
it was bl- before it was the BLT building?
What was it?
The All the Way In.
That's right, Iron. Yes, it was.
Yes,
it was the All the Way In.
I know where the sign is for that.
Because it was the furthest back from the front gate.
Yes, that is the only reason.
That is why.
Yeah.
It was the all the way.
Looking furtively in both directions. That is why it's called that.
I thought it because it was because of innuendo.
All the way innuendo.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Blit. And for those of you who do not work at the festival, the Blit is where after hours
they just under lights that are too bright.
They play music
and they
grill
burgers that are amazing.
Yeah, they grill
the burgers. Are great.
They grill burgers it's just a place for the people that work there to hang out and talk and drink.
Sometimes I'll swing through and see who's there, but I really can't stay in that noise.
Yeah. All right, question number three, mermaids or the Iron Throne? I assume the Iron Throne is the throne of
swords. Which one is most out of place, or...
I don't know.
Which one is the weirdest new addition?
Because, I feel like the weirdest new addition is the fucking zipline.
Yeah, right. I mean, it is. That is definitely the winner of that competition.
I feel like there's a number of context items.
Do the zip line while the guards ran under her carrying a sheet was
to
pretty
catch
amazing.
Her if she falls.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Between the two of them, I feel like Iron Throne. They're talking about like the Throne of Swords.
I assume the Throne of Swords is what he's talking about.
I feel like the Throne of Swords is going to hit more context items than the mermaids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just going to go based on odds alone for that one.
As speaking as someone who has a 4-year-old daughter, the mermaids.
Mm.
They fucking love the mermaids. Yeah. And Lilibeth will show me the little glass drop that she got from the mermaids. And even Asher is saying 2-word syllables now because he says mermaids.
Nice.
And it's fucking adorable. And Lilibeth was crushed because the last time she went to the mermaids, Mermaid Alyssa was not there. And she loves Alyssa.
Of course she does.
Because Alyssa's awesome, by the way.
I mean, she is a professional mermaid outside of Fest, too.
Alyssa, by the way, works her ass off.
Oh, my God, she does.
Belly dances and then goes and does mermaid shit and then goes and belly dances again and then does mermaid shit. She's like, Jesus, fuck.
She usually does our third feast, too.
Yeah.
Like, when she's done mermaiding, she'll come do us as well.
Love Alyssa to death.
No,
I love Alyssa to death, and so do my kids.
Are you ready to see these ladies dance?
So, I'm going to go mermaids.
I'm going to go throne.
Okay. I'm sticking with the throne again because odds.
Okay. Question number 4: top or ground?
That was not what I thought. That
I have
choice
no
was
idea
be.
Where he's going on this one. Top or ground? Ooh.
What?
At the end of the day, for closing gate, I'm usually on the ground.
Oh, I'm on top of the gate.
Yeah.
I love being on top of the gate.
I've
done a lot of time on top of the gate, but I feel like I've got more personal interaction opportunities down on the ground.
At the beginning of the day, I prefer being on the ground.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I prefer being up top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning of the day, people are a little bit more open to that one-on-one interaction.
Horse assing around.
At the end of the day,
they're
tired, and I feel like just yelling at them from the top of the gate is more...
That's the depth of the interaction that they want?
The thing I like about doing the ground at the end of the day is that I usually try to focus on the kids to get them just, you know, one last smile to go out happy.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like you said, everybody's tired.
But you can do that from the ground. I can't.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like just at the beginning of the day, when you have more energy, you can be a little bit more one-on-one, I feel. I can be more one-on-one.
Right.
Yeah.
Where at the end of the day, I can kind of scan the crowd from up on top of the gate and kind of go, that's a thing. And be a little bit more precise about, you know, hitting individuals here and there. Instead of in the morning where it's just this frantic talk to this person, talk to every single person walking by, just blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Where at the end of the day it's a little bit more relaxed. It's like it's much more honed in on that individual and that individual.
What's the shenanigans?
And I can see that slightly better from bird's eye view.
Mm-hmm. Ragnhild of the Vikings yelled at someone who was carrying out a cupcake. He had a brand new cupcake. And she was like, you don't want to carry that heavy cupcake all the way out to your car. And he, like, shrugged. And she was like, give the pretty girl your cupcake, like, gesturing to herself, right? And the guy's like, oh, okay, right? Like, some 20-year-old dude. And he just hauls back, like, cocks the arm back, and then, wham, just delivers the cupcake at lightning speed. And her hand just shoots up and fields it. Bam! Straight into her palm, and then a spray of frosting behind her. And she just takes it back down, and then we start laughing. And she's like, yes, this is good. And, like, crams part of the cupcake into her face.
Yes.
Yeah, Ragnhild. Good.
Awesome.
Mm.
Okay, question number 5. CKC or independent?
Independent. All day. all day.
Absolutely.
Although I've got to say, the special events CKC people. Technically, yeah. I do get a paycheck from CKC.
As do
Feast of Fantasy.
As do I. Yeah.
The people who work for CKC are probably great.
I get a good solid half my paycheck from CKC.
Right.
Sure.
But I love the people and the service and the special events. Food is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going out to get something from a booth, it's going to be independent.
Yeah. Well, and you're absolutely right. I feel like a huge proportion of the people that are currently on cast originated in CKC.
Yeah.
I never originated in CKC. I just get a paycheck.
Well, you're not a huge proportion of the cast. You're much tinier than that.
She's not even a huge proportion of a regular human.
Exactly.
I'm travel size.
But I think we all know a lot of people who started in various places like that. So, I mean, my first couple years out there, I definitely fell under that spell of thinking, you know, oh, entertainment's better in CKC. And then I was quickly disabused.
They worked their asses off.
I was quickly disabused of that, that in some way CKC is inferior and I was a jerk is what I was saying.
I mean, was.
Yeah. He still is, but he used to too.
Oh.
There you go.
All right, so thank you very much, Mud.
Indeed.
We are now going to find out what we got going on here.
All right.
Fencing booth or King of the Log, which after-hours tournament do you make sure not to miss?
Okay, only one of them had three-armed fencing combat. The fencing booth.
That was pretty impressive.
That was fucking amazing.
So it used to be that I never missed King of the Log because Fondazzi was performing.
Sure.
Yeah, like you had an active part in that.
But I am no longer doing that. And no diss at all to the King of the Log.
No, not at all.
But fencing booth is fencing booth. I have too many friends there and too many connections to the fencing booth.
I can imagine how that must be for you.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Difficult.
Super weird.
Fencing booth is my jam.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although I am probably going to try the King of the Log tournament next year.
Sure, I may try.
Because I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I haven't
that
either.
That seems like I did the fencing tournament for the first. I did the fencing tournament for the first time in my 26 contracted years out at the festival.
Yeah.
And I feel like I should give the King of the Log a try too.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't mean I'm not going to do the tourney again next year.
No, I definitely am.
Question number two. Campgrounds or the Blit? After closing cannon, where are you more likely to be found? Campgrounds.
Yeah.
Campground.
Yeah. I'm usually either at Dragon's Den or at the Old Man Fire or in Pagan Hollow.
The Oaks. Yeah.
I've been to Dragon's Den two or three times. Mm-hmm. Never been to Old Man Fire.
Old Man Fire is a grand old time.
Honestly, I spend pretty much every night at the booth or wandering, just ranging around.
Old Man Fire is the perfect place to go when you are too tired to really want to interact with anyone, but are still not ready to go to bed. Because it's literally just you go there and most people just sit in a circle staring at the fire and occasionally mumble at each other.
My pattern has been go to the Oaks. Then go to Den, and then go booth, or I have done some a night or two of VLT this year. Every time I've tried hitting the Old Man's Fire, no one was there. And I think I'm just hitting the wrong times.
It's been so hot this year that they haven't had a lot of fires.
Also that.
Yeah.
And like Dragon's Den, whether there's a fire or not a fire, there's always people sitting around smoking a hookah. But with the Old Man Fire, if there's not a fire, people
It's just old men. Yeah, who wants that?
Everybody just kind of goes inside their camper and sits in the air conditioner.
Right.
If there's not a fire, so.
Fair.
All right. Question number three. Mermaids or Iron Throne, which attraction did you cringe at most when added to the fest?
When added to the fest? Throne of Swords.
Throne of Swords.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, Mermaids, that makes sense. There's, you know, we got fairies.
It's a fantasy fair. Exactly.
And all of that. When they added Throne of Swords, I was like, really?
It was really? So specific.
How are we not getting sued right now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, Really?
All right.
Really?
So we've got that. And then now, next year,
I've got to say,
next year we're going to have the X-Men here. And
right. Like it was seriously like, are we going to, yeah. But I got to say, I love what the kids have done with the concept.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Fucking. They are solid.
The marriage of
Shakespeare
mm-hmm. with the TV series and meshing them beautifully.
Yeah.
Was very well done, and I give Katrina full marks for what she has done with that. The mermaids was one of those things that it was like, really, we're going to have mermaids? But again, we've got fairies, and it's what kids want.
Yeah,
and it's a non-specified, like that. That is a fantastical, general genre.
They kind of made that stuff up. And what I will say about the Throne of Swords is that it's no longer just a place to go sit and get your picture taken.
Now it's a pub.
Yeah. It's a pub, and it's they have performers.
Yeah.
There who do things and that have original characters or that have original things to do.
Yep.
And are not just.
Oh my God! Their game of whatever the card, they'll have a character name and they put it up against their forehead so that they can't see it, and they ask questions of other people to figure out who they are.
Like, They do a family feud. They do like a pub quiz.
Yeah, they do a pub quiz and all of that kind of stuff. Right. Yeah, they have a ton of stuff that they do.
All right. Question number four, top or ground? Would you rather be on top of the gate welcoming patrons or on the ground welcoming them in? So it's very specifically welcoming ground.
Welcoming, probably ground. Yeah.
I like to be welcoming outside the gate.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to do front gate because I'm dancing, because that's the dumbest thing to do with the first part of your morning.
I've done that.
If you can't get to True Stone, it's a good way to wake up.
Mm. Yeah, I actually have my True Stone before I go dancing.
Double whammy! It
actually helps keep me going. But yeah, like I on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When I was part of the Mayor's Entourage, way back in the day when we had such things, like I was stuck on top of the gate, and it was like.
Mm.
And now I'm waving because I'm a pretty person. Yay.
Yeah.
It just kind of soured me on the whole top of the gate thing in general.
It's slightly more removed, and I really like that one-on-one interaction.
Well, that and like getting to go horse ass around with you guys on the bridge.
Yeah.
And just like...
If I could spend all day in that bridge, I would.
Just like making people in those rascal scooters go-kart race is also amazing.
I tell whenever I see a kid between the age of like above the age of 3, I'd say in a stroller, I always tell them I lean down and I go, "Did you know that if you make noises, it goes faster? Try it, trust me." And their parents laugh every fucking time because the kid looks at me and goes, "What?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's grand because you get those little...
If my kid made those noises, I would push faster.
Wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah. You have to.
I absolutely would. And sometimes I say it to people on rascal scooters, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no.
Oh, that's great.
So, anyway.
What else we got?
Question number 5, CKC or independent? Do you eat more at the CKC or independent food booths at Fest?
Do I eat more? That's actually an interesting question because...
I don't eat.
Right, you don't eat. If I'm going to go buy food, it's going to be from an independent, but I also, working the Feast of Fantasy, get a lot of CKC scraps on technicality. Yeah, oh, man, it's so hard.
Well, it specifically says, do you eat more at the CKC or independent booths?
The booths, then independent.
So, independent.
Independent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Thai place, mini pancakes, and tots. Oh, the tots.
The Thai place is literally the only booth I have purchased any food from at all this entire year.
They have amazing fucking food.
I purchased...
Have you had their curry?
I purchased their chicken curry one day. And I downed the entire thing in less than 5 minutes on an empty stomach and then had heartburn for the rest of the evening.
Was it even a little worth it?
But
Oh, it was absolutely worth it. Okay. Yeah, but yeah. It was the worst heartburn I've ever
had. I haven't been to the Thai place, and I'll tell you guys why. Thai food is pretty much my enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Coconut.
Because it's either coconut or peanuts.
Yeah, it is.
One or the other is in there.
Yeah, super full of that.
Sometimes
stuff.
They sneak in, like, other weird, like, banana or some kind of tropical shit in there just to be assholes.
Well, okay. Now, actually, here's an interest. The beef sticks. The jerky and the beef sticks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are those are considered CKC, right?
Yeah, they are.
They used then to be independent.
Then I have to go with CKC.
Oh my God, you do, don't you?
Because every single day I purchase a beef stick.
Fair.
And for my performances as Casimir, I take 3 bites from that beef stick every day.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's it. No more, no less.
Yeah.
3 bites from that beef stick. And that is all. And then I toss the rest of it away because it's been sweltering in my bag for the entire day. Oh. But technically, I have eaten more from a CKC booth.
Yeah.
Oh, technicalities.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to send in a Fast Five, and please do, because at this point we only have ones from Mud left, and he is pulling into the lead when it comes to people sending them in. And we
are we actually tracking now? We should track.
Yeah. Should we? I mean, somebody else do that, because I don't want
to
do that.
God damn it.
You
have to forward it to me, because...
No, just keep tally. Just start a tally now.
Start a tally now?
Yeah.
Do it next week.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
I'm allergic to banana.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and we know you do, what you are going to do is send in 2 emails, both of them, to salsa@aonpodcast.com. What you are going to do is the first one is going to contain 5 A or B choices. The second one is going to contain those A or B choices, followed by the question being asked. Send both of those, and in your email subject line, give them a title that makes it clear that they are paired together in some way, shape, or form. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Yes.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
You go first.
Really quick, I was informed that Adventures in Cardboard, the company Adventures in Cardboard, is doing a big grown-up event. They're doing so that grown-ups can get the idea of what Adventures in Cardboard is all about and just have kind of a wild time. I guess it's October 15th.
Okay.
So, yeah. If you have not been invited to anything else on October 15th, go and do that thing. Check out Adventures in Cardboard, have a wild time, and thank me later.
What do you got, Jenna?
This Thursday, there are 2 shows. There is Our What the Improv at Honey, and that is going to be delightful. But I will not be attending that one.
Oh.
I will be attending the band series, or Celebration, one or the other, produced by Chameleon Theater, it's a show where they do sections from different band books, band plays, band items. And they have a special guest this Thursday.
Oh.
Who was recently banned in Burnsville.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it that handsome Duck Washington?
It is that handsome Duck Washington. He will be doing, he and a couple of the cast people will be doing a section from...
Lovely.
Caucasian aggressive Pandas and Other Mulatto Tales.
You know, I heard that was an amazing show.
It was
pretty good. I mean, the directing sucked, but the rest of it was fantastic. Right. So, anything else?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. No, that's it.
All right.
That's the word for now.
This weekend will be the final weekend of Renaissance Festival.
Indeed.
You can see James and I at the Vilification Tennis at 12:30. Jenna will be performing with Sigany at the Feast of Fantasies and at
The Wine Tasting.
I will also be at the Wine Tasting. I will have shows at 10:30 and 1:30, and on Saturday at 3:15. And that is the final
you
weekend of Renaissance Festival.
You can come dance with me at 9-ish, 9:15-ish at the Bear Stage. And I mean that. Like, if I see you and I know you, I will drag you on stage.
Absolutely.
So come dance with me. It'll be great.
Well, unless you're like, no, don't fucking do it. Then you can just watch.
And there, I mean, you can.
And then you can definitely come out and support me in my final match as a vilification tennis performer. Indeed. At 12:30 at the Bear, and buy my trading card, because we're going to have to get rid of those because they're going to be useless after that.
They will actually burst into flame if they have been.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you very much for listening. We will come back to you next week. In the meantime, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.